Hey, it's good to be in the house of God, isn't it? Good to be in the house of God. We're looking at the I am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Simply put, Jesus over and over and over again made it very clear that he is all God. And that he is all we need. You know, he gave us these I am statements. We've looked at them from a couple of different vantage points. Number one, to help us discover him. Number two, to help us to desire him. Number three, to help us to depend on him. And Jesus looks at every man, and Jesus looks at every need. And the reality for you and I as human beings is that for anything that we are and everything that we need, Jesus looks at us and he simply says, I am. I am. You know, I like bears. Anybody else like bears? Awesome. Bears are strong. They're impressive. I like lions. Anybody else like lions? Lions are regal, and they are fearless. You know, there's so many animals out there with positive characteristics. Monkeys, for instance. They're resourceful. Resourceful, John, not mischievous. Resourceful. Penguins. They're sharp dressers. The fox is cunning and wise. The butterflies are graceful. The bees pack a potent punch. There are so many wonderful animals out there with powerful, positive characteristics. And yet when the Word of God looks at you and I as human beings, we're not called a bear. We're not called a lion. We're not called a fox or a monkey or a penguin or even a butterfly. Over and over and over again, the Bible refers to you and I with the metaphor, the analogy that we are sheep. Quite literally, one of the dumbest, most helpless animals around. Its only saving grace is that it's not a cat. A sheep. It's into this very familiar symbolism, with this very familiar metaphor in mind, that Jesus introduces himself to you and I as the Good Shepherd. This morning I want to take a look at what that means from John chapter 10, that Jesus is our Good Shepherd. Would you look with me at verse number 7 of John 10? We're going to jump in right there. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, say it with me, church, I am the door of the sheep. Look at verse 8. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Look at verse number 9. Say it with me again. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Hey, can I point out about the Good Shepherd this morning? First of all, I want us to see the Good Shepherd and his personal relationship with the sheep. The Good Shepherd and his personal relationship with the sheep. You know, twice in the verses we read, Jesus indicated, he said, I am the door. You know, sometimes people want to take these two separately, where Jesus says, I am the door and I am the Good Shepherd. But actually, it is one picture. You see, in Bible times, the shepherd was actually the door. And what we have here is a beautiful picture of how the shepherd would lay in the opening of the fold. And in doing so, the shepherd himself literally became the means or the point of access that the sheep had to the fold. Can I say simply this morning that Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, is the door. That he is the only way of salvation. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said in verse number 9, if any man, look at this, if any man enter in, he shall be saved by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved.
Can I tell you first about our good shepherd, that he is the only way of salvation.
I want us to understand this morning. Those that are here, those that are in overflow, those listening by way of Facebook or radio, Jesus Christ is not an accessory to our salvation. You see, it's not Jesus Christ and the church is the door. It's not Jesus Christ and water baptism is the door. It's not Jesus Christ and good works is the door. Jesus Christ is the door, and he is the door alone. In our world today, I as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I as a pastor am worried, because in our world today, people seem to just not understand that it's Christ and Christ alone. We talk about where we grew up in church, and we talk about when we were baptized, and we talk about the good things that we try to do, and we talk about the intentions that we have. Some people vaguely refer to some prayer that they said 40, 50, 60 years ago. But I'm going to tell you, salvation is not a church. Salvation is not baptism. Salvation is not works. Salvation is not some vague prayer that we said years ago. Salvation is not an awareness of God's love. Salvation is not some fondness that we have towards him. Salvation is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. In a couple weeks, as we move through our study on the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to come to what I consider the saddest verses in all the Bible. Where the Bible says, in the day of judgment, many will look at him and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P in your name? Lord, look at all that we did for you. And in spite of their sincerity, the Lord will look back at them and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. See, as we consider the Good Shepherd, the first thing that we have to understand about the Good Shepherd is the personal relationship he offers to his sheep. Hear me and hear me clearly this morning. Jesus Christ is not an accessory to salvation. He is the only access we have to salvation. Simply put, there is no other name. The apostle said in Acts 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way. You see, here's the thing about you and I as sheep. We are broken and lost. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all dead in our trespasses and sins. But hallelujah, the good shepherd came to seek and to save that which was lost. This is the good shepherd. Church, we didn't seek him. He sought us. He drew us. He saved us. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 4, puts it this way. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Look at verse number 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He sought us. He drew us. He saved us. Or as Jesus puts it in this very chapter, the good shepherd gave his own life for the sheep. You look at verse number 11 of John 10, and Jesus says again, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I want you to understand this morning, and my heart is heavy this morning, because there are people who have attended church for decades, who have been in a pew, maybe they've gotten wept in a baptistry, maybe they've even enjoyed the things of God, but you have never come to the place where you have a personal relationship with the good shepherd, where you, not your mama or not your grandma, not the preacher or the Sunday school teacher who is so kind, but that you have come to a place where you have a personal relationship with the good shepherd. I want you to know this morning, he is a good shepherd, but it is not profitable for you until it is personal to you. You know, there's a big difference between recognizing that the Lord is a shepherd, that the Lord is the shepherd, and being able to say, as David did in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I want you to know, church, I have zero doubts about the fact that this is my wife. I am hers and she is mine. This is my wife. There are other ladies in here who may be a wife. And at times, there may be other ladies in here who may be the wife of. But this is my wife. And I'm going to tell you, there is a uniqueness to this relationship. There is a depth to this relationship. There is a reality to this relationship that I don't doubt, that I cannot deny. I wonder if we are as safe and settled in our relationship with the Good Shepherd as we are with our spouse. You see, I respond differently to her than I respond to anyone else. Any other lady or any other wife of, because this is my wife. I don't wake up in the morning and go, huh, are we still married? I might do something at the end of the sermon that I might have to ask that tomorrow, but we'll get there. I don't wake up in the morning and wonder, how did I get married? How did this? No, I know. Because there is a reality to this relationship that I cannot deny. Can I ask you this morning, is the Lord your shepherd? You see, we're going to talk about all sorts of wonderful things about the Good Shepherd, but it's not profitable until it's personal. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I want you to see something else about the Good Shepherd this morning. Not only do I want you to see the Good Shepherd and his personal relationship that he offers to his sheep, but I want you to see the Good Shepherd and his plentiful resources that he offers to his sheep. Do you see what it says there at the end of verse 9? It says, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And look what it says, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I want you to know the Good Shepherd and his plentiful resources. You know the thing about sheep is sheep struggle. Sheep struggle with fear. They're easily frightened. Sheep struggle with friction. You know, sometimes if sheep, they rub each other the wrong way and they get all frustrated at each other. Sheep struggle with frustrations like flies and ticks and other things that just bother them all the time. The reality is sheep are easily flustered to the point where they struggle to function. But the good shepherd, the Bible says, enables the sheep to go in and out, to come and to go, to function in freedom. It's not that the things that create fear have gone away. It's not that the things that create friction or frustration has gone away. But it is that reality, hear me, that there is security in the presence of the Good Shepherd. There is security in his presence. In other words, the sheep have confidence. They have a confidence that those things that create fear, those things that create friction, those things that create frustration are cared for by the person of the Good Shepherd. And so there is great security in his presence. How many of us recognize that we live in a culture of fear and friction? We live in a culture of fear and friction. How many of us recognize as well that we live lives that are plagued by the curse of frailties and frustration? We live lives that are plagued by the curse of frailty and frustration. And I got to be honest, all this fear and friction, frailties and frustrations, it can be crippling and consuming and absolutely inhibit my ability to function freely. You know, they say that a dense fog that covers 7 city blocks 100 feet deep would be less than 1 glass of water if you could put it in a cup. But that little bit is enough to cripple a city. You know, the thing about you and I who know the Good Shepherd, you and I who have that relationship with Him, it's important to understand that not only do we have that relationship with Him, but we also have His resources. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7 that God has not given us the spirit of fear. God's not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Church, that you hear me, there is security in the presence of the Good Shepherd. Is there a culture of fear without? Yeah. Are there things that, be honest, strike fear in our hearts? Is there friction from time to time? Does this life and body fail us? You bet. But there is security in the presence of the Good Shepherd. You know, the psalmist put it this way in Psalm 91 in verse number 2. Psalm 91 in verse number 2. That, we'll let him get that up on the screen. Or we'll turn there in our Bibles. The Bible says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. You let that settle in your heart this morning. We're talking of the Good Shepherd. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. You know what the sheep is just dumb enough to believe? The sheep is just dumb enough to believe that the shepherd is greater than any threat he faces. I want you to see what Jesus said later in John chapter 10, beginning in verse number 17. Speaking of the sacrifice that he's going to make, he said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Look at verse number 18. He says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus looked at those who would follow, and he looks at you and I who follow him today, and he reminds us that death had no power over him, that men had no power over him, that Pilate had no power over him, that he laid down his life and he took it up again. Amen. That's why you and I can say, death, where is thy victory? Amen. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you and I can look at whatever faces us without, whatever frustrates us from within, whatever fails around us, and we can say, like those of old, if God be for us, who can be against us? We have a good shepherd. We have a good shepherd. The good shepherd provides security by his presence. I want you to see too, the good shepherd also affords the sheep pasture. The Bible says, going back to verse number 9 of John 10, the Bible says, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The good shepherd affords the sheep pasture. That idea is that pasture means that they are presented with all that they need. It means you and I, as sheep of the Good Shepherd, you and I who enjoy His resources, you and I who know and love Him, can find absolute satisfaction in His provision. David wrote in Psalm 23, "Thou makest me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." There is security in His presence. There is satisfaction in His provision. You know, there is a confidence and freedom that comes when you have a good shepherd. There is confidence and freedom that comes when you know that you have a good shepherd. You with me this morning, church? There is a confidence and a freedom that comes when you know that you have a good shepherd. Let me flip it on its head. There is a confidence and a freedom that comes when you know the good shepherd has you. Jesus at the end of this chapter put it this way in John 10, beginning in verse number 28. He said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He said, My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." You know what? Stuff's going to come, and it's going to create fear, and it's going to create friction, and things are going to fail, and we're going to be frustrated in this life. But nothing that we can face is greater than the security of His presence or the satisfaction of His provision. You see, there is a confidence. There is a freedom to go in and out and find pasture when you know the good shepherd has you. Do you know the good shepherd this morning? Jesus as the good shepherd teaches us some things about Himself. He reminds us about the good shepherd and His relationship, His personal relationship that He offers the sheep. He shows us the good shepherd and His plentiful resources that He offers His sheep. And I want you to look here at verse number 10. Jesus says this. He says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Again, this is all in the context of the good shepherd. "I am the door," verse number 9, "by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." He says, "The thief comes not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And so here Jesus not only reminds us of the good shepherd and His personal relationship, the good shepherd and His plentiful resources, but He reminds us of the good shepherd and His present readiness. The good shepherd and His present readiness. What do you mean? You see, Jesus here contrasts those who would come to steal, to kill, and destroy. Those who would come to use and abuse the sheep. Now, it's important to understand that in Jesus' speaking here, He wasn't primarily talking about the devil in this passage. He was talking about the religious leaders, those scribes and Pharisees, those others along the way who had sought to abuse God's people. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do understand that the devil does seek to steal, kill, and destroy all that God desires to do in your life. Amen? That this world desires to steal, to kill, and to destroy all that God desires to do in your life. Amen? That many times those that are popular, those that are powerful around us, guess what? They don't have our best interest at heart. It burdens me. It so burdens me when I see especially young people give more credence to somebody like a professional athlete just because they can throw or shoot a ball And they give that person the benefit of the doubt over their mom and dad. Oh, but how often, how prone are we to give the benefit of the doubt to the people around us instead of the good shepherd above? You see, ladies and gentlemen, there are those who come to steal, to kill, and destroy. There are those who come to use and abuse, and that is why they are here. You know, Jesus also points out another group. He points out those who often mean well, but are sometimes unreliable. He calls them the hireling. You see that in verses 12 and 13. Jesus says, "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. And the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and he careth not for the sheep." You see, no one cares for you like the good shepherd. I'll tell you, even the people who mean well in your life, I'll give the example just because it's true to the text in this way. You know, the pastor is often considered the under-shepherd under Christ. But in reality, I'm just a form of a hireling. I am not the good shepherd. I strive to be a good hireling, to love and to care and to provide for the sheep and to sacrifice for the sheep. But guess what? I want you to mark it down so you're not surprised later. I will let you down. I will make mistakes. I will. That's why we don't put our faith in men. We put our faith in God. Because he is the good shepherd. You see, there are those who are here to use and abuse. There are those who mean well, but are often unreliable. Jesus contrasts all of these with himself when he says that he has come to give life abundant. That idea of life abundant, it means a fullness beyond measure. It means overflowing. It means exceedingly abundant. It means grandma and grandpa dishing out the ice cream, messy good. I'm going to tell you, church, you and I have been let down by many. And we have been cast down by many more. But I want you to get a hold of something this morning. Life abundant is not dependent on people or circumstances around us. I'm going to tell you, if life abundant was dependent on the circumstances around us, that would give the pimples on our face way too much power. Are you hearing me this morning? Whether or not I have life abundant is not dependent on whether I'm having a good hair day. Is not dependent upon whether the slow drivers are out of the fast lane. Is not dependent on how long the grain train stays parked across town. Is not dependent on how long I have to wait for a table at a restaurant. Is not dependent on whether or not the store has my favorite cereal. Whether or not I have the good life doesn't depend on whether or not my finances hold the way I wish they would. Whether or not my health holds the wish it way it would. Whether or not my friends held the way I wish they would. Because you see, if life abundant was dependent upon all these outward things, we'd be giving pimples way too much power. You see, life abundant that the good shepherd gives, he gives within you. It is a fullness of life that Jesus gives within, that bubbles up, that bubbles out, that overflows, that brings a joy, that brings a peace, that brings a purpose, that no facial blemish can overcome, that no wait at a restaurant can overcome, that no sharp word can overcome, that no financial loss can overcome, because God is only and always good. How many of us can testify this morning that oftentimes in the deepest of valleys is where we find the most precious of blessings? Bible says in Psalm 34, beginning in verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Verse number 9 says, "Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Even the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." See, Jesus said, I have come. I am here. I am here that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Christian, this is the guarantee of the Good Shepherd. This is the guarantee of the Good Shepherd. Over in Psalm 23, David finished the psalm this way. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to leave that up there for me, Luke, if you would. Hear me, church. That word surely, that's a take it to the bank word. That's a mark it down. That's a guarantee. What does it say that we can take to the bank? That goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now that word follow is a really rich word in the Hebrew. It has the idea of to be hunted down, to be pursued, to be chased from behind. I want you to get this picture in your head. Because we're being led by the Good Shepherd in the front. And we are being hunted down. We are being chased. We are being pursued by what? The goodness and the mercy of God. Every day and every event of a believer's life, he is being hunted by the goodness and mercy of God. Get that image. Everywhere you are being pursued by the goodness and mercy of God. Take it to the bank. You know, this is the guarantee of the Good Shepherd. And I want you to know this. It's a guarantee, not a gimmick. You know, so often in life we're faced with gimmicks. Gimmicks. I went to my wife's vehicle and I took this. Inside, yep.
Wow. He's hungry.
You know, this is one of those ways, this is Burger King. This is one of those things that men and women maybe just look at a little bit differently. You know, I look at things like coupons and I think to myself, boy, that's a way for them to get us to spend money. Sometimes ladies look at these things and think, oh, that's a way for us to... You know what I see on all of these, though? A whole lot of fine print. You know the worst, though. This is the worst, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I know. That's the thing. You know, save all this money. Spoil mom on the back. Limit one per customer. Coupon cannot be used in conjunction with any other present offer. Coupon not valid on the following categories and brands. Select online exclusives. Athletic, beauty, fragrance, consumables, Kohl's brands, electrics, premium footwear, select personal care, novelty gifts, sporting goods, sports teams, merchandise, sunglasses, toys, wellness brands, Columbia, Dyson, KitchenAid, UGG, Lands' End, Levi, Swells, Tom's, and anything else that is found in 98% of our store. It's a gimmick. You know, sometimes those ideas with warranties. You know, we recently helped to stimulate the economy. Bought a little bit of furniture. And I asked the guy, I said, what is your best warranty? And so he laid it all out. I said, what if my kid stabs it with scissors by accident? Will you fix it? What if somebody accidentally burns it? You fix it? What if somebody wrestles on it and cracks the frame? Will you fix it? I want the warranty. I want the warranty. You fix it all. So we totaled that up. And I said, now you tell me, what won't you fix? What's the fine print? I don't know. Call me a skeptic. I want to know what the fine print is. I want to know what the catch is. I want to know. I want to know. Because I get all excited about 30% off. And then it's not all it was cracked up to be. I want to know what's the fine print. Hey, I got some good news. There's no fine print with the Good Shepherd. When he says, I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly, it's not excluding 97% of your life. When he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, I want you to know there's no gimmicks with Jesus. When he says that goodness and mercy will pursue us with ferocious fervor, when he says that he has come to give us life abundant, church, take it to the bank. Amen. You see the Good Shepherd and his present readiness. There's a longing in my soul. The desires to know the security and satisfaction offered by the Good Shepherd. But there are so many who search for it in so many places, in so many ways. And we think, you know what? This life, I could have life abundant if I just had. Or if I just knew about. Or if I could just receive. Maybe for you, I could have life abundant if I could just let go of or get rid of. You will never find it that way. You see, sheep, I'll teach you one more thing about sheep. They have excellent peripheral vision, meaning that they can see what is all around them. And they can even see what is behind them without turning their head. But they have terrible depth perception, meaning they struggle to see what is right in front of their face. You know, you're not going to find what you're looking for when you get that thing, when you receive that answer, when you are able to get rid. It's not where it comes from. I want you to hear the words of Jesus this morning, beginning in verse number 9. He said, I am the door. He said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He said, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Jump all the way to verse 27, if you would. Hear the words of the Good Shepherd this morning. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, when you stop and think about it, being a sheep isn't that bad. When you have a good shepherd. Do you know the Good Shepherd this morning? He is like none other. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who would say, you know what? I've known him as a shepherd, and I've even known him as the Good Shepherd. But preacher, I got to be honest. I don't know that I've ever come to the place where I have received him as my shepherd. I wonder today if you would hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. You would come and receive eternal life through his name. This morning, I wonder if those that are here who are struggling, who are burdened, who are weighed down by fear or frustrations, you are distraught by the frailty of this life. Trust the Good Shepherd. Do you trust the Good Shepherd? He is like no other. And I wonder today, those of us who are here who struggle, who are so struggling, if today you might hear his voice and come and rest in and rely on him today. There's no gimmicks with Jesus. You know, David said this, and we'll close here. In Psalm 23, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I want you to catch the impact of that last phrase. I shall not want. I shall not want. What do you mean, David? Can I tell you what he meant? The Lord is my shepherd. What more could I want? Father, we love you. And as we stand together this morning with our heads bowed and eyes closed, Lord, we do come to our